Good morning. It's good to be with you. Once again, my name is Davis Morgan, and I'm the RUF campus minister at the University of Southern Mississippi in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. And it's a joy to be invited. Thank you to Les and to you as a congregation for inviting me. We're going to be in Mark chapter 1, verse 40. It's a joy to serve on the college campus at Southern Miss and to be part of this ministry that is the denominational campus ministry of the Presbyterian Church of America, and to serve on the sort of the mothership campus. And we got to celebrate 50 years of God's faithfulness in Hattiesburg, Mississippi last year. And as one veteran of that era who was in the ministry when it began in the early 1970s, who's also my father, said, if you want to understand the concept of the mustard seed kingdom, look at RUF that starts in this place called Hattiesburg and is now all over the country and even the world and is part of God's work through the PCA. So it's a joy to do that and to get to hear students' stories, to get to enter into their lives and bring the story of the gospel to bear on their stories. It's a joy to do that. Let me invite you now to look at Mark chapter 1. We're going to be in verse 40, short passage. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them. But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places and people were coming to him from every quarter. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Friends, this is a passage, a story about the concept of contamination. Now, I don't know what comes to your mind when you hear the word contamination, but I think of Bluebell ice cream. And I don't know if you remember, some of you probably do, the summer of 2015, I think it was, when Bluebell ice cream just poof, disappeared. Could not find it on the shelves anywhere. And some of you probably know why. Because a contamination had occurred at the Bluebell factory in Texas, a contamination of listeria. And you can't eat ice cream if it has listeria in it. It's not good for you. It's very bad. And so Bluebell ice cream was completely off the shelves. They didn't sell any ice cream for, I think, 6 months. And to this day, I think, are still in the process of paying over $17 million in penalties. That's the cost of contamination. Or we could think of a much bigger cost of contamination if I say the word Chernobyl. Many of you remember or have studied or heard about the Chernobyl meltdown, the worst nuclear disaster of the 20th century in 1986. And scientists say to this day, the next time that ground zero, what's called the zone of alienation around Chernobyl, will be habitable, 20,000 years. 20,000 years before human beings can live in Chernobyl. That's the cost of contamination. This is a passage about contamination, and maybe more so about cleansing. It's a passage about cleansing, and what the Holy Spirit is doing in this story is showing through this leper our need for cleansing, this longing that we have to be made clean, because this leper is a walking Chernobyl. This is a man who is a walking Chernobyl, and in him we see ourselves as ones who need desperately to be made clean by the only one who can, by Jesus. And so we're going to look briefly this morning at two headings. One, our need for cleansing. And second, the one who cleanses us. Our need for cleansing and the one who cleanses us. It's really original, and you've got the headings now if you need to sneak out. So our need for cleansing. This leper comes to Jesus and he's begging to be made clean, and he cries out, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Obviously, he knows he's unclean. He would have looked unclean. His body would be slowly rotting, falling apart. If the leprosy was far progressed, it's very possible that it would have gone down his voice box so that as he cries out to Jesus, he would sound like a growling animal. He would have been required in that culture to wear rags, not allowed to groom his hair or to cut his hair, possibly required to ring a bell to warn people, unclean, unclean. Meaning, you don't want to get what I have. You don't want to get too close to me. Because I'm stained, I'm contaminated, and if you get too close to me, you'll be contaminated too. Now, it's really easy to shrug our shoulders and just think, oh, those poor, pitiful, unscientific people. They didn't know how diseases worked, and so they were superstitious like that. But we have lepers. We have lepers, don't we? Our campuses have lepers. Our churches have lepers. We treat our lepers differently, perhaps, but not that differently. But what this disease is doing to this man is essentially causing him to decompose. That's why it's such a powerful image of sin and what sin does. In medieval times, they called it living death. And actually, the community would hold your funeral for you while you were still alive. Because leprosy, as an image in Scripture of what sin does, it does exactly what sin does. It causes the effects of death to set in while you're still alive. It causes you to decompose and to disintegrate, and you can't cleanse yourself from it no matter what. I wonder if you could think back to high school literature class, or think about high school literature class that maybe you're in right now. If you ever read the play Macbeth, you think of Lady Macbeth, who is guilty of putting her husband up to horrific murders through her own ambition and her ambition for her husband. And so much of the plot of that play falls out in her not feeling like she can scrub her hands clean enough to get the stain of blood out. And in her last speech of that play, here's what she says. She says, "My bones ache from carting guilt around. My bones ache from carting guilt around." Maybe your bones ache this morning. Maybe they've been aching for a long time. Maybe our hands are stinging from trying, like this woman, to wash ourselves clean. If I can just get that promotion, if I can just make partner, if I can just get that person to notice me, if I can just stop this secret sin, if I can just come to church more often, get a little bit more in my savings account, if I can just get my parents to say they're proud of me. We do it with a million things. Right now, thousands of people like me are doing it with college baseball. We do it with little leagues. We do it with t-ball games. This is why you yell at t-ball games. It's why we scroll Zillow and TikTok till 3 a.m. Because it's this stain, this contamination that we all feel, that we're all desperately seeking something that will make me clean. And we do it with our jobs, with our bodies, with our children, with our diets, with our sports, with our marriages, our achievements, with substances, with education, with money. And at the end of it all, we look sort of like a baby trying to change his own diaper. If you've ever seen a baby try to change their own diaper, you don't want to see it twice. It's horrible. Why? Because we know we're unclean. And what the Holy Spirit is inviting us to do in this passage, whether for the first time or the 10,000th time, is to cry out, "I am a leper. I'm a walking Chernobyl. And Jesus, if you don't have mercy on me, I'll never be clean, even in 20,000 years. Have you ever or lately prayed that prayer? Jesus, I'm a leper, but if you are willing, you can make me clean. That's our need for cleansing. Now, the one who cleanses us. Let's ask first the why of cleansing. Why does Jesus cleanse this person? Why does he heal him? Well, it's the first thing we learn about Jesus really in this passage in verse 41. It says he's moved with pity. He's filled, he's moved with compassion. The word behind that refers to the intestines. It's literally the Greek word that our medical textbooks still get the word for the internal organs from. It literally means that Jesus' guts are turned over in himself. And that compassion moves Jesus whenever he sees suffering and sin. One author puts it this way: the sins of those who belong to God open the floodgate of his heart of compassion for us. The dam breaks. It is not our loveliness that wins his love. It is our unloveliness. Did you hear that? It is not our loveliness that wins his love. It is our unloveliness. That's the why of cleansing, this pity that fills Jesus. But it's not just that he's filled with pity, because there's also the what of cleansing, this power that fills him. Jesus doesn't just look at us and say, "There, there. I'm so sorry." He doesn't look at this leper and just cry with him. He touches the man. He reaches out his hand. We don't know for sure, but it was probably the first time this man had felt the touch of another human's hand in years. Then listen to what he says: "I am willing, be cleansed." He says, "If you are willing, Jesus, you can make me clean." I had lunch with a student recently who's not a believer, who's interested and curious about Christianity, and we're discussing different metaphysical questions over Chick-fil-A, and at one point he says, "You know, I don't know if I believe that there's a heaven. I kind of hope there is, but I don't think I would go there." I said, "Why is that?" He said, "I don't think God would want to save me." That's exactly what this leper is asking. "Jesus, I know you can, but do you want to? Are you willing?" And what we see is that Jesus is, as the hymn writer says, filled with pity, joined with power. Is that the Christ you know? Is that the Jesus that you know in your heart? Because the Jesus of the Bible, the Jesus of Mark chapter 1, is the Jesus who is filled with pity, joined with power. Power to cleanse and restore, to reach into the darkest corners of our hearts and lives, to the hidden places, and wash us white as snow. And that's the power that Jesus is always using to redeem the unworthy outcasts. Quote, "Time and again," Dane Ortlund writes, "it is the morally disgusting, the socially reviled, the inexcusable and undeserving who do not simply receive Christ's mercy, but to whom Christ most naturally gravitates. He is, by his enemy's testimony, the friend of sinners." That's the Jesus of Mark chapter 1, the one who cleanses us, full of pity joined with power. And that power doesn't just stop here. Listen to what Jesus tells him next. "Go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifice Moses prescribed." Why? Well, why does Jesus tell him to do this? And maybe more than that, why does Mark bother to record this? He's already been cleansed. He's healed. What more is there to be gained? Well, what's left to be gained is that the leper is able to go home. You see, the leper, just like us, doesn't just have an uncleanness problem. He has an outsideness problem. Listen to what Moses wrote of lepers in Leviticus chapter 13. "The leper shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." That's what God prescribed for lepers in the book of Leviticus. You see, even though this man had been cleansed, he can't return to his home until the priests say so. So we don't just have an uncleanness problem, we have an outsideness problem. And it's that outsideness that Jesus comes to deal with as much as the uncleanness. It's that exile, that outsideness that's traced all the way through the story of redemption. It's what Adam and Eve experienced when they fell into sin. They were exiled from the Garden of Eden. And it's that same outside the garden feeling that is traced, literally carved into the temple of God. If you remember those chapters of the building of the tabernacle and later the building of the temple in 1 Kings, and you see the little details where there's all these carvings of grapes and lilies and there's gold and there's beautiful things that do what? That remind you of a garden. That remind you of the Garden of Eden in Genesis 1 and 2. And that also say, this is what it now takes for you to be back in the garden in communion with God. This is what it takes for you to go home. It takes the sacrifice, the shedding of blood. See, that exile, that's a picture of all of us. And we feel it everywhere. It's why we all have a deep longing, not just to be clean, but to be home. It's why you're homesick everywhere. It's why you're lonely everywhere. It's why enough is never enough. It's why you think you're never enough. It's why you're nostalgic about everything. It's why you cry at the Grand Canyon, and it's why we cry at Christmas time when children's choirs sing Silent Night. It's not that we're sappy. It's not just that we're sentimental. It's not just that we're sentimental. It's that we want to go home. Listen to what C.S. Lewis says about that feeling. Our lifelong nostalgia, our longing to be reunited with something in the universe from which we feel cut off, to be on the inside of some door which we have always seen from the outside, is no mere neurotic fancy, but the truest index of our real situation. And to be at last summoned inside would be both glory and honor beyond all our merits, and also the healing of the old ache. Lewis puts his finger right on it, the exile we feel. And it's that exile, that outsideness that only Jesus can save us from. Do you know what the sacrifice would have been, what the prescription that this man would have had to have shown the priests? In Leviticus 14, Moses tells us that when a leper was cleansed, they were to bring two turtle doves. The priest would kill the first dove. The second dove would be dipped in the blood of the first. And then they would set that dove free. And that same blood will be sprinkled on the leper to declare him clean. And then he would immediately begin the process of re-entering his community. So he was allowed to go home. Friends, do you see it? Jesus is the slaughtered dove. Jesus is the dove whose blood was shed. And the leper and we are the second dove, the one who goes free, dipped in the blood of the one who cleanses us. You see, how does Jesus take away our exile? By taking it on himself on the cross. Because on the cross, Jesus becomes the slaughtered dove. On the cross, Jesus becomes the leprosy. On the cross, he became filthy so that we could be cleansed. He became full of shame so that we could be filled with beauty and righteousness. On the cross, Jesus was cast out so that you and I could be brought home. He was exiled so that we could be called children of God. He's filled with pity, joined with power. That's what this table is about, friends. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are filled with pity, joined with power, and that your heart is stirred for lepers like us, not only to cleanse us from guilt and sin and shame, but to bring us all the way back home to our Father's arms. We thank you that because of you, Because of the cross, we can now be called children of God. Would you transform us into your image more and more day by day to walk as children of the light? We pray it in Christ's name. Amen.